From tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, July the 5th, 2019. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on Besieged.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Well, this has been the last 2 days for me. The devil's been after me, so this must be going to be a good message. I'm not going to stress over it, but I've just said, Lord, regardless if I don't know what I'm doing or if I say it wrong or do it wrong, Lord, just glorify yourself. That's all I want in everybody's life. In Jesus' name. Praise God. And I want to say this to you, those of you who've been here, this is your first time. Those of you that come to most of the meetings can say that every time you go home, you're different. Amen. Can you say that? Amen. So I encourage you to come to as many meetings as you can. I've been coming since 1997, and I think I've only missed like a couple of meetings since 1997. And every time I go home, I'm different. And I don't even know what I got delivered from. But it's just being in a word atmosphere, and I believe you're in a place where the people that teach here are teaching the pure word. And I just thank God for that. I thank God for a lot of word. I love the word of God. It grieves me that I'm not able to read it as much as I was able to. Now it's like, see, Dick, Sally, run, go. I used to listen to my son when he was in the first grade. It'd be good, Dick. My little one would be trying to repeat the oldest one. Anyway, I listen to this guy sometimes that's in the Patriot, one of the Patriot teachers. And bless his heart, he can't read. I mean, he has a hard time spelling and even reading. But boy, he didn't let it stop him. And I find myself wanting to judge him. And the Lord says, you do the same thing. Well, bless the Lord. Anyway, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your holy, wonderful, yes, magnificent name. That name that's above every name.
Yes.
You said, Lord, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord, we confess that you're the Lord, you're the healer. Christ in me, my hope of glory, our hope and glory. Lord, I ask you to teach, manifest yourself through me, teach through me, heal, deliver, set free, save, God. We just ask you that every person here will be touched by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Thank you we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, for above principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in heavenly places. Lord, we just thank you. We bind you, Satan. We bind every evil spirit, every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over Merrill, Barbara, over this camp, over Patty, over Kevin, over Linda, in Jesus' name, over Dan and Crystal and the children, over every person that's at this camp and everything that concerns us, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you to make my words like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, Lord the Shepherd. Bring to my remembrance everything you've said, and Lord, let me be a tree of life today. Let rivers of living water come forth from my innermost being. We just bless you, Lord. Well, before I start teaching, I'm going to tell you about the potter's wheel. How many of you have heard my illustration on the potter's wheel? Well, some of you haven't, so you won't get overwhelmed by this message, okay? God's the potter and you're the clay. What does the clay do? It rests on the potter's wheel, right? Is that right? If you've ever seen a potter work with clay, the clay does nothing, but the potter does it all, right? And God says that he's the potter and you're the clay. So instead of getting overwhelmed, just take your junky clay, which all of our clay is full of junk, and put it on the potter's wheel, which is a picture of yielding or coming under the control of the Holy Spirit. That way you won't get overwhelmed. God gave me that years ago when I would look at people and they looked like they were going to have a heart attack. God's going to kill me any minute. Because back then I would teach 40-hour seminars and I'd see people really panicked because they'd think, dear God, I'm in trouble. So the Lord gave me that potter's wheel illustration to show people that all we do is continue to yield to God. Amen. Continue to give your life up to Him. Come under His control. That means align yourself with the Word of God. It means die to your flesh. That means choose God's way over your way, His plan over your plan, His attitudes over your attitudes, and His Word over your Word, and just stay yielded and surrender to the Lord. And the potter will finish the work. He will establish you as a holy people. That's what the Word says. You won't establish yourself. If you're trying to turn the potter's wheel, it wears you out. If you grew up being performance-oriented or being loved based on your performance, then you get saved and you think God expects you to just start turning the potter's wheel. And you'll wear yourself out. Just rest. The clay rest. And if you are not resting in your walk with God, you're under a curse. Deuteronomy 28 says that one of the curses is that He'll give you, there'll be no resting place for the sole of your foot, a trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. And I can tell you, glasses are a curse. They're not a blessing. Eye problems is one of the curses. And I'm looking for the answer, okay? So we're all a work in progress, and God wants us to continue to overcome. And He died at Calvary. He won the battle. And we've already overcome, but we have to enter into that victory that He won for us at Calvary. You can't do it yourself. I was trained up, the Lord helped those that help themselves, and I felt guilty because I couldn't help myself. My mother said, she just don't have any willpower. And my mother had a lot, obviously. Bless the Lord. But anyway, that's the line. I break the curse, and praise God, Christ in me is the hope of glory, and He's your hope of glory, your only hope. The title of this message is Besieged. And a person that's besieged is overwhelmed and overcome by the enemy. He has no defense against the enemy. Unless, of course, he turns to God with his whole heart in whatever area he's besieged. You can be besieged in many, many multiple areas. Or you can be, it's usually more than one. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But the dictionary definition of besieged is to surround with hostile forces. It means to crowd around, to hem in, to harass, to opportune, which means to to opportune means that a person will hear voices. And some of you hear voices all the time you think are real people, but they're demons. And so it's a place where your life has been besieged by the enemy through your sin, through the sins of the forefathers. And praise God, all those places can be fixed, and it's process. God doesn't fix you all in one day. Sanctification takes a lifetime. So don't get overwhelmed by all the things that are wrong, by all the junk that's in your clay. Don't let that overwhelm you. Just know that God is the one that takes the junk out. The potter takes the junk out of your life. But you've got to get on the potter's wheel, which is a picture of being on God's altar. Present your body, Romans 12:1, as a living sacrifice unto God, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But to besiege means to be harassed, to hear voices with request. It means to cause to feel stressed, distressed, or worried, to besiege with problems. And when a person is besieged with problems, it means there's always a problem every day. Something goes wrong. I had a taste of that yesterday. I've never had a day like that. I mean, it was like I was chasing my tail all day long. And it never occurred to me to rebuke the devil. And now I look back, hindsight, I let him keep me running in circles all day. Just to give you an example, when I got here, I thought I left my makeup bag. So I run to Carla. Carla, you have any makeup? Not that we need it, right? But anyway, she didn't have it. So I came in here and I got Lorna. She just took me to Walmart. And I got the makeup, came home, locked myself. I mean, came back, had locked myself out of the room. So then it was too late. I came to the meeting, went home, and guess where the makeup bag was? Right on the chest of drawers.
Wow.
And that was just a couple of things that happened to me yesterday. Oh, goodness. And then I got in later, and I left my glasses in the car, and thank God for Kaylee. She went and got them, and anyway. And then I tried to get on this iPad, and I don't know what happened. It got restored or something, but I was getting Russia and China, and it took Kaylee to figure that out. Anyway, that was just a little day where I was had a taste of being overcome with problems. And I did not pass the test. But today I'm passing it, okay?
Okay.
It means to besiege a walled city. A person that's been besieged has had their spiritual walls torn down. You know, the whole book of Nehemiah is about the wall of Jerusalem that was torn down because of shame and reproach. And that physical wall of Jerusalem is a picture of our spiritual walls. And so a person that's besieged, he's had his walls torn down in varying degrees. It could be just 1,000 areas. Usually it's more than that. I mean, you know, do you ever get through of seeing the sin in your life? Do you ever get to the place where God didn't show you something that needs to get fixed? It's going to be that way till we enter eternity. But it means to be besieged by foot soldiers and cavalry around a walled city. It means to attack from all sides. You know, if the wall of Jerusalem was broken down, the enemy could get in there, right? And that's a picture, like in Deliverance, they call those doorways. Wherever we have a breach in our spiritual wall, then that's a doorway for the enemy to get in. And so the process of the Christian life is for us to continue closing those doors that we've opened to the enemy. It means to attack from all sides, to assail, to assault. It means to fall on. It means to storms, to strike, to set up, to beleaguer, beset, blockade, to bottle up, box up, cordon off, encircle, and to lay siege. And a person who has been besieged is overrun and overtaken by the enemy, and he has no defense until he finds how that breach got there and repent and deal with it, and then deliverance comes. You know, James 4:7 says, give yourself to God. Number one, that's repent. Resist the devil and he'll flee. And so I have people call me all the time from everywhere. And those of you who are on the radio have people call you all the time. And sometimes people call and they're so besieged. They're so overwhelmed that you don't even know where to start to pray for them. So many holes in their spiritual walls. You know, I believe it's Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up their broken heart, to set them free, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, that they may be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And it says, then he will rebuild the besieged. Somebody read that to me. The last part of Isaiah 61 where it says he'll rebuild the walls. The former devastations of many generations will be built up through deliverance. And it's a process. And so in spite of what you hear from a lot of, probably most deliverance, you don't hear that here at Lake Hamilton, but for most, a lot of people that are in deliverance, they don't deal with sin. And if you don't deal with sin, I mean, you might feel good for 30 minutes or an hour, but the demons are going to come back if you didn't get to the sin behind why you opened the door to the enemy. And there's some people that absolutely wear themselves out trying to fight the devil. And God never told you to fight the devil. He said stand. Because he's already defeated Satan, the defeated foe. And so many things we blame on the devil where God is actually causing these things and allowing these things. I heard Benny Hinn say the other day, and I don't know what you think about Benny Hinn, but I tell you, 20 years ago, I thought this man was a heretic. But something's happened to him in the last few years where this man is teaching repentance like you have never heard in your life. I heard two messages. In fact, you can go on to... You can go to on your phone or online and pull up how to destroy the kingdom of hell. And I never in my life, in 57 years of following God, heard a message more powerful than that. And it was totally being in the secret place through waiting on God and repentance, the whole thing. So, let's see, why did I say that? Anyway, Lord, if that was important, bring it back. Yes, it does. I don't know why I brought him into the picture, but if it's important, it'll come back. So, and so many things we blame on the devil when God is actually allowing it. And I'll read some scriptures to show you. There's thousands of scriptures that say that. And many believers are wearing themselves out fighting the devil. And if you're wearing yourself out fighting the devil, you're trying to do it in your own strength. You're not doing it in God's strength. James 4:7, God says, he never said to fight the devil. He said, submit and resist, which means oppose and stand against, and he will flee. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 says that we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And to put on the whole armor of God, I've got to take some things off. Colossians says you put off the old man, put on the new, right? And read. I encourage you to read all of Colossians 3. It tells you what to put off and what to put on. But it's basically put off the old man, put on the new man. And the way you do that is through repentance, through submitting yourself to God, through full surrender. And let me tell you something. You're never going to walk in victory or get totally delivered until you are totally 100% surrendered to God. And if you're not in the Word of God, you can't maintain your healing and deliverance. You've got to be in the Word of God to know how to line yourself up with the Word of God. So if you ever want to walk in victory, you're going to have to be in the Word of God. And there are times when we need to bind the devil, like in my life yesterday. You know, the scripture says that the fiery darts are flying all the time. And you're to take your thoughts captive and you're to put a have on the armor, you're to stand against it. But if it doesn't go, then you need to look for the breach in your heart, the doorway to why the enemy is getting victory over your life. And before God tells us to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6, he says, children, obey your parents. Wives, submit to your husbands. Slaves, obey your master. Basically, he's saying submit to authority. And so when you're at this camp, you submit to authority. When wherever there's God-ordained authority, you submit. Because rebellion is what brings the enemy. Proverbs 17:11 says the rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. And that's really a picture. Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. And so if you picture Psalms 91 like a big umbrella, when you're under there, you're walking, you're on the potter's wheel is another way of saying it. Job 28 says, when you're walking the highway of holiness, no falcon's eye, in other words, the devil and the demons can't even see you. So if you want to be hidden, you have to be in the secret place. And that's the safe place. Outside of God's refuge, it says what is that scripture says? It says, when we're in God's refuge, the voice of the enemy, and I'm paraphrasing, is like a rainstorm against a wall. It's like have you ever been in a building or a house when it's raining and the rain is hitting the window? It's saying that basically that the enemy is like a rainstorm against a window. When you're in God's refuge, the enemy cannot get to you. Proverbs 16:8 says, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Psalms 40:11 says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. So if your enemy is shouting triumph over you, God's not pleased about something, and you can call that demons or you can call it people or whatever you want to say, God's not pleased with something. And I thank God he's taught me to say, okay, God, what are you not pleased with? What do I need to line up? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to confess? When I read the Word, I'm asking God. I'm doing deliverance on myself while I'm reading the Word. As I line myself with the Word of God, I'm getting delivered. And I've been doing I scriptures. And it's really hard. It's easier for me on the iPad than do paper, but I've been reading the paper too, but it's difficult but I decided that's an act of faith that I'm going to read it even if it's one word an hour. Praise God. And so Ephesians 6 says, 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, not your might, His might. Put on the whole armor, full armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers, against the world forces of wickedness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we see that these spiritual forces of wickedness are not only attacking us, but these are attacking our president because they want to bring the ones that are attacking are wanting to bring our United States under a one world government, and our president is bucking that, and so that's why everything is like hell is coming against him. And you need to pray for him, whether you like him or not. He is the president of the United States, and he does care about America, which that's rare nowadays. There's so many people up there that are actually anti-American, so evil you cannot believe the corruptness of some of these people's minds. They're Satanists is what they are. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. Just take it up that you may be able to resist the devil in that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. So Jesus has won the victory for us at Calvary. So all we have to do is stand firm. He's already done it. But what happens is we listen to the devil, or we run around in circles like I was doing yesterday. It's like instead of standing and saying, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? Sometimes you get caught up in the mess, right? Anyway, that you may be able to stand firm. Now, if he's beating you up in that area when you're trying to stand firm, you better look for the breach and the reason to why he's attacking you, because he's winning. Jesus has already won the battle. So if there's not sin in our life, there's no reason why we can't stand. So look for the sin. The Lord has taught me that my problems are the problem I'm having today is the very thing God wants to fix, because he doesn't fix your whole life at one time. You couldn't take it. Verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and so... The belt of truth, having on the belt of truth, that means you love the truth, you embrace the truth, and you speak the truth. And I think last camp, one man was lying to his wife, and of course I know this man and woman very well, and I said, you tell him that a liar goes to hell. The Bible says no liar will enter the kingdom of heaven. So if that's your pattern, your custom, your lifestyle of a lie, you're heading in the wrong direction. You may be a church member, but you're heading in the wrong direction. And that offended him, that the fact that I said that he's not going to go to heaven if he don't quit lying. Her big problem with him was that he'd lied to her all these years. And the man had come out of a lifestyle. You know, my son died of AIDS, and a person that comes out of a lifestyle, there is a perverse lying spirit on people that live a homosexual lifestyle. That just goes with it. In fact, they've believed a lie about who they are even. And so having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that means you're prayed up and confessed up. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you have to be walking in peace. When you lose your peace, you've got a system problem. Years ago, my daddy bought me the most beautiful Cadillac Eldorado you've ever seen. I mean, it was so pretty. It had white, it had gold wheels. It was absolutely beautiful. And if the gear was out just a little out of whack, it would say on the computer, system problem. When you lose your peace, you've got a system problem. Amen? And I'm not talking about a false peace. God says in Isaiah 26, He'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon Him because you're trusting in Him. And so if you lose your peace, you're not trusting in Him. It says, in addition to all, having taken up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. I remember a story in one of Rebecca Brown's books about she was a doctor and she was crossing this, she had these Satanists that were after her all the time. And she was crossing this parking lot of this hospital and the Satanists were coming after her and the Spirit of God just came on her and she just said that she took up the sword of the Spirit and they actually ran from her. See, in the spirit realm, you couldn't see it with human eye, but the demons could see it. And they ran. So it's really more real than what we can see. Verse 17, and take up the helmet of salvation. In other words, you need to make sure you're born again. And I don't mean just being a church member. Howard Pittman says 90% of church members are lost, and Leonard Ravenhill says 95% of church members are lost. Amen. Most church members deal with their outward stuff, the outward appearance, and they never deal with heart issues. They have a religious spirit.
That's right. That's right.
And take up the head, because the demons and the devil and demons believe. They tremble. They believe more than we do. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So use the Word of God. There used to be a book that I read in earlier years called Dealing with the Devil. It was by C.S. Lovett. How many have read that book? Anyway, basically, you counter Satan with the Word of God. The devil says you're ugly. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Devil says, worry, fret, stew. God says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So you take up the Word of God to counter. That's what, you know, Jesus did when Satan was tempting him. He said, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we take up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And so the whole armor causes us to be able to stand against the devil. We don't have to fight him, we just have to stand. And it's not in our strength, it's in God's strength. And so the armor of God is more real than the clothes we're wearing. It's just that we don't see it with the human eye, but the demons and the devil sees it. And genuine repentance causes God to fight for us. A person who's besieged is under most of the curses in the Bible, if not all of them, in varying degrees. And I encourage you to read all the blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28 and even Leviticus 26 and circle the ones you think apply to you. There was a time in my life when I've done that. I've done that, and the ones I thought I was under, I began to find out what got me under that. And not to say that there's not still, like the failing eyes is still working. But I see how over the years God's delivered me from those curses just by at one time circling the ones that applied to me and then find out why, what happened, how did the door get open to that curse. The demons carry out the curses and the holy angels carry out the blessings. And so, first I want to read the blessings. And this is the motivation to want to obey God. And I hope you'll take this to heart. Deuteronomy 28:1 says, now it shall come about if you diligently obey the Lord your God and be careful to do all His commandments, which I command you to today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. Well, that's above ISIS, right? Above anything that would come against you. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you, and that means they're going to run you down, if you will obey the Lord your God. You see, the blessings of God are conditional. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. That means you're blessed if you're going in or out or wherever you are. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. And that's just your stuff, okay? You may not have a flock of cows or whatever, but it's your stuff. Verse 5, blessed shall you be your basket, and blessed shall be your kneading bowl. That means you'll have plenty of food. 26, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause, now the Lord's going to cause it, right? The Lord shall cause your enemies, male, female, demon, whatever, who rise up against you, to be defeated before you. They'll come out against you one way and they're going to flee seven ways. The curse is they're going to come against you one way and you're going to flee seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings upon you and your barns and all that you put your hand to do. Everything you do is blessed. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Physical land, there's a church land, a physical land, and this is land. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says your building, your house, your field. Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 says your soil. Genesis says your dirt, right? Isn't that what Genesis says, Carla? I think I heard you say it. Bless you, the land which you, the Lord your God gives you. That's your property, everything the Lord's given you, and in your physical body is your land. The Lord will establish you as a holy people unto himself. Remember I said get on the potter's wheel and he will make you, he'll take all the trash out of your junk, out of your clay. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself as he swore to you if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. If you have problems walking, you haven't been walking in God's ways, start lining your life with the Lord. I fell four times, I guess it was in 2018, I fell four times, and thank God I didn't break anything. One camp, I missed a camp because I could barely walk. And you know, I repented over all the scriptures on walk, path, feet, pride. I repented, and I can tell you it's almost a year. I couldn't, before that I could squat down in my kennel and I could get up without even holding on to anything. Well, after I hurt my legs, I could not squat down without holding something to stand up. And I can tell you, after repenting over the Word of God, everything's healed. I can squat down again. You know, what we do is we let ourselves get stoked up because we don't deal with the sin in our life. And so you think, well, I can tell you when I started doing that, I was as repentant as I knew how to be. I was prayed up, repented up, confessed up. But when I started getting in the Word on walk, our strength, this arm, and I did it out of pride. 2 years ago, I hurt this arm climbing the fence, and I was proud of myself that I was almost 80 years old at the time, and I could climb over the fence. And see the pride? I started repenting. It's taken two years almost, and this arm is almost totally healed. I didn't call the doctor. I didn't take a medicine, but I just kept on repenting. Verse 10 says, so all the people of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. You know, sometimes we wonder why people reject us, and it may be because if we're walking with God, their demons are scared. It says they're going to be afraid of you. We take that personally. At least I do. I take it personal. The only people I've ever felt rejected me was family members. The rest of them, you don't care if they reject you, right? Anyway, but praise God, that's gone, and I don't care if they all reject me. I let it go. I taught a message on how to live a stress-free life, and I think it's here at Lake Hamilton. You ought to get it. Just let it all go, and then nothing stresses you out. But boy, was I stressed yesterday. Oh, was I? Anyway, but most of the time I'm walking in victory with that. I don't want another day like that. Deuteronomy 28:11 says, the Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body. He's going to bless your children and you're going to be prosperous. And the offspring of your beast and the young of your produce of your ground and in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. And the Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give you rain in its season. And that I think has to do with your prayers getting answered. And bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many, but you shall not borrow. You see how credit cards is a curse? I don't know. I'm sure most people have been in credit card debt, and at one time I was in credit card debt. I mean, like probably $20,000 or $30,000. Praise God. I got it all paid off, and I did not let it go. And that's not to condemn anybody, because we've all been there. I think I had a sister that was about $140,000 in debt on credit cards. It's a trap. It's a trap. So if you have one, you know, try to pay it off. And if you've got one you can't pay off, don't get condemned. God's going to pay it off. The more you repent, the more He's going to bless you. Deuteronomy 28:13. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you'll be above and not be underneath. And I want to say this. You know, men are the head of the house, but if your wife is trying to make you the head and you're under this curse, you're the tail. You want to be the head, you're going to have to get your life right with God. What's so sad is very few men are being the spiritual leaders of your home. You need to do that. You need to stand up. Don't let your wife control you either, because she'll hate you if you do. If you listen, because it's idolatry. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the way which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And Randy last night taught on idolatry, and that was the most excellent message on idolatry. But let me just add a few apples to this. If you let the sun go down on your anger and you don't go to God, you turn to something else, right? If Lorna makes me mad before I leave here, and she doesn't. She doesn't. And I just ignore her, and I think, I'm just going to ignore her. I'm not even going to talk to her anymore. I'm just going to ignore her. I'm not going to tell her. I'm not going to share my heart with her anymore. Did I just turn to an idol? You see what I'm saying? The big idols we have is, you've got to love me because mother and daddy didn't. You know, my mother and daddy, I can say they made a lot of mistakes, but I knew I was loved. And I bet you Meryl could say the same thing. I knew I was loved. And so even when I wasn't loved, I didn't feel unloved. But if they hadn't loved me, then I would have constantly felt unloved. When my husband left me for his secretary, I didn't feel unloved. I was grieving for my two little boys that didn't have a daddy. That's what broke my heart. And I said, Lord, kill him. I said, if you're not going to kill him, kill me, because I don't want to be a divorcee. And then we're both alive today, and we're friends. But, you know, but anyway, I mean, I didn't want to be a divorcee, because I had been judging all the divorcees at church that were deacons. I couldn't believe these pastors would let these divorced people be deacons. I was so self-righteous. I mean, God let me get hit right between the eyes with the people before. After that, I'd say, well, at least they're not divorced. And then I judged the pastors for letting the deacons smoke on the parking lot. I had a church in Lindale, and I can tell you, Linda can tell you, Linda, we had to put a bucket out in the front for the cigarette butts. Because I had prostitutes and Satanists, people that come out of Satanism, prostitutes, drug addicts, pimps, they all smoked. And now I look back, and I was trying to get them saved and delivered, and they just needed salvation. They all told me they were saved. Oh, goodness. And so if we don't turn aside from all the commandments of the Lord, don't turn your foot to the lighter. Let me go back. I command you to charge you today. Don't turn your foot to the right or left, which could be another route to foot problems. Or go after other gods to serve them. And so just to name a few of the curses that, I'm not going to name all of them, but I'm going to read some of the curses that tie in with being besieged. But I encourage you to read all of them. Deuteronomy 28:15. It shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come on you and overtake you. And actually, there's about 66 curses, I think. I don't know exactly, but about that many. Verse 20. The Lord, underline that. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do. Until you're destroyed, and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. So how could we forsake somebody that we didn't hold to? So this is to the believer. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you in verse 21 until he has consumed you from off the land where you're entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you. The Lord, underline that, will smite you with the consumption, that's a wasting lung disease, and with fever, and with inflammation, with fiery heat, with sore, with blight, with mildew, that's candida, and it will pursue you, the curse will pursue you until you perish. Verse 23, the heavens which is over your head will be bronze, and the earth under you iron. That means you won't get your prayers answered. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You'll go out against them one way, and you're going to flee seven ways before them. And you will be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Verse 26. Your carcasses shall be food to all the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth, and there'll be no one to frighten them away. Now, what is that? The birds of the sky is a toddling shadow of the powers of darkness. In the parable of the sower, you know, when the sower sows the word of God and the birds come and get it, then Jesus explains in Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13 that the birds are Satan, comes and steals the word. And the beast of the field, someplace in the New Testament, it says that Paul fought with the wild beast of Ephesus. He wasn't saying he was fighting with real lions and tigers. He was fighting with people that were demon-possessed. And no one will frighten them away. The Lord will smite you. The Lord's going to do this with madness. That's mental problems. Bipolar. Mental problems. ADHD. All types of mental problems. Schizophrenia. Bipolar. And myriads of other mental problems. And, of course, the cause is rebellion. And with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. And you'll grope at noon, which is the brightest part of the day, as the blind man gropes in darkness. And you'll not prosper in your ways, but you'll only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. The question is, are you always being robbed continually? And it seems like none to save you. You can call the police, you can call whoever, but nobody's there to help you. So you see, the obvious problem is I have to go to God. He's the one that can fix everything. Amen. Verse 33 says, a people who you do not know, that's demons, shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you'll never be anything but oppressed and robbed and cursed, crushed continually. Now, James 4:7 says these... 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. So you can have demons in you, and you can be swallowed up by the demons. A good example of somebody that's swallowed up by demons, if you've ever prayed for somebody, and you know, you just feel a wall and nothing happens, it's they're in a spiritual prison, having been swallowed up by the devil. And you just need to tell the devil to spit them out. Curse continually. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. There's mental illness. So in verse 45, all these curses will come on you and pursue you, run you down and overtake you until you're destroyed because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which I command you. Verse 48. Therefore you shall serve your enemies. And Paul said your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. You shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. So you see, if you feel like there's something coming against you, it could be the Lord sending it. Otherwise, you can just take up the shield of faith and it has to go. right? If it don't go, then you need to find out why. So the Lord will sin against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. So if you've got neck problems, it can be an iron yoke because you're under the curse. This is just the opposite of Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first, not second, third, fourth, fifth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, that's everything you need for life, godliness, and happiness, will be added unto you. Verse 52, it, the curse, shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted in come down. In other words, you're going to be besieged until you let go of all these idols that Randy was talking about last night. The idol of whatever pushes your button. Well, nobody loves me. That makes me mad. I'm getting rejected. That makes me mad. Nobody values me. That makes me mad. See, I'm trusting those things to make me happy. And it, the curse, shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land, which the Lord your God has given you. Verse 66. So your life will hang in doubt before you, and you'll be in dread, that's fear, night and day, and have no assurance of your life. No confidence in God. So being besieged is a major root for people hearing voices. There was a girl that came out of Satanism that I used to minister to. Linda knows her. And she heard so many voices that she had to play praise music to try to drown out the voices that she heard. Because, see, all of her spiritual walls had been broken down. And praise God, today she's walking with God. But it took a lot of years of deliverance getting through the satanic stuff before she could even get through the normal stuff. So being besieged is a major root of hearing voices. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. And back in Deuteronomy, it talks about how the enemy will opportune you, which means to beset you with persistent, repeated requests, to entreat, to ask urgently, to annoy, to vex, to plead or urge irksomely, often persistently. And so that's hearing the voices. So if you're hearing things nobody else can hear, it's demonic. A person who is besieged has no defense against the enemy till he lays down his idols, until he lines up with the word, until he deals with whatever the Lord shows him. And you know, you might see so many things. I used to tell this girl that came out of Satanism, I said, it's like all you can see is darkness. But if you just take a step at a time, one of these days you'll walk out of the darkness into the light. But you just have to keep on pursuing the Lord until you get free. There's light up ahead. So don't get overwhelmed, because God's not. He just wants you to get on the potter's wheel and he does the rest. So the condition and of being besieged, and of course the solution is repentance. In the book of Lamentations, is the whole book is about spiritual adultery. And when we pray a prayer to make for salvation, to become the bride of Christ, when you receive Jesus, you're making a covenant to be the bride of Christ, men and women. And when your heart goes after other lovers, these idols that we've been talking about, that Randy's been talking about, that I've been talking about, when our heart goes after these things that we're trusting in to make us happy or to fix us, you know, one time caffeine was a big idol in my life. And so, praise God, I'm set free from that. But I'm saying, when we deal with all these idols, and if we don't, we're committing spiritual adultery against our bridegroom Jesus. And the whole book of Lamentations is about spiritual adultery. So if you go to Lamentations 3:1, it says, I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his, God's wrath. He, God, and I'm adding God, because when it says he, it's meaning God. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Doesn't he tell us to walk in the light? As he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And so he's made me walk in darkness. And you know what? Whenever we get outside of God's umbrella, we step out there, we're stepping out into darkness. Because our covenant partner is not fighting for us. It's not, he's not giving up on us. He's letting the demons beat up on us a little while so we can run into his refuge. Surely against me, he has turned his hand repeatedly all day long. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged me and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. Oh, I know what I was going to say, Benny Hinn. I heard him say the other day, God brings burdens into your life to take you higher with him. That's why I brought that up.
It's true.
And it's true. The purpose of your trial is to conform you into the image of Christ. And like Randy said last night, to change from glory to glory to glory. I thank God that he's taught me to walk in repentance, because tomorrow I'm going to be different than today. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to go out of here in a blaze of glory. Right? Amen. In Lamentations 3:6 says, in dark places, he, God, has made me dwell like those who have been long dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. And all that's because of spiritual adultery, having other gods besides him. Even when I cry out and call for him, for help, he puts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. Perverse person walks crooked instead of straight with the Lord. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in a secret place. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. And that's another thing. You can look up the word desolation. I think I've done one message on desolation. I never taught it here back years ago. But he has made me desolate, which is another curse, desolation. He has bent his bow and set me as a target of his arrow. Well, he tells me to take up the shield of faith and quench all the fiery missiles, the arrows. But now he's calling them his arrows, because the Bible says that he's created the smith to blow the coals, and he's created the destroyer to ruin. In Colossians it says everything, he's created everything by him and for him, and there wasn't anything that was made that was not made. The Lord made the devil. It's like God doesn't want us to be robots. It's like the devil is a competitive God. Are we going to follow him, or are we going to follow Jesus?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.